I wonder how many times mankind has actually stopped and contemplated what it must be like to be God. And I'm not talking about from the arrogant sense of wanting to have His power and majesty and such like, but simply thinking about what it must be like on a daily basis to be Him and to see His creation and watch what we do in contrary nature to His will, and how oftentimes we don't express ourselves with, as we often say, an attitude of gratitude to Him. A person who thinks they would want to be God needs to remember that God oftentimes gets blamed for things He didn't do and forgets to be thanked for the things that He does. It's not exactly sometimes as great as maybe some people would make it out to be, because mankind has many times not attributed to God the thankfulness that we should. I don't know about you, but if someone were to sit down with me right now and say, Corey, in 10 years, if you don't change and if things in this world don't change, this is exactly what you're going to be like. You're going to have this attitude. You're going to do these behaviors. You're going to do these actions. And unless things change, there's nothing else about it. This is the way it's going to be. And if it were of a negative nature and it showed me being what I didn't want to be, I believe I would strive every opportunity I had for the next 10 years to change that, to make sure that that didn't come to pass. Well, I want us to read this morning 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, because that's exactly what Paul, by inspiration, said years ago, that there was going to come a time, and this is exactly the way things would be. And this is the way that men would act and the way that men would behave. And for 2,000 years, man has had knowledge of these very things. And yet it's disappointing that it was pointed out by a man inspired of God Himself that these would be the ways that men would act. And yet today, many times, this is exactly what we still find. Paul said, "This know also that in the last days," those are the Christian days, the Christian dispensation of time. He's not talking about the end of time itself, where Christ is right on the verge of coming back. He's simply talking about the last dispensation. There were the patriarchal days. There were the Mosaic days. Now there are the last days, the Christian days. We've been in them for about 2,000 years. He said, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And listen to what he said people would be like. He said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." I tell you what, the USA Today, and I realize newspapers are getting to be more archaic with the internet, but the USA Today couldn't have a more appropriate front page headline to talk about the way society is than what Paul wrote right there. I mean, that is the 21st century society in which we live by large. And yet God has to look at that every single day. And God has to deal with us in that capacity every single day. People who have become those things by large in our society. Right in the midst of the things that were listed there was the term unthankful. While I'll grant you, we need to have sermons on traitors and heady, high-minded, and certainly lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and all the other things, disobedient to parents and such like. We need sermons on all of them. We certainly need sermons, though, on what it means to be unthankful. Because I'm afraid that God is exactly that way today, that He is one who does so much for us, and yet many times we fail to offer thanks back to Him for all that He's done. There's a story about a preacher who told of a couple who met in college, and like so many young people, they fell in love and got married. Both the man and the woman in their early lives had planned to be doctors. But, like so many starting out, they couldn't afford for both of them to go to college at the time and to go to medical school and do such. So the young lady, the wife, made up her mind that she would quit school and that she would go to work and that she would help support her husband so that he could do that. so that he would be able to become a doctor and that their lives would be better for it and that he would reach that goal in his life. Everything sounds so great, doesn't it? I mean, what a love story. Two people who are striving for a better life, and the wife's willing to sacrifice and to help her husband and so forth, and this is where the story unfortunately gets bad. Because when he completed medical school and began his practice as a doctor, for whatever reason it may have been, he had gotten to a point in his life where his station in society had been exalted so high, becoming a doctor and making so much money, that for whatever reason he decided he no longer wanted the wife that he had at this time anymore. She wasn't suited for him anymore. And he put her away unscripturally and went with another woman. Now I want you to think for a moment how sad of a situation that is. That here was a woman who loved him so very much that she set her own ambitions and desires and goals aside in life to make sure that he could reach the pinnacle of what he was wanting to accomplish. She even labored and suffered out in the workplace so that he could have that opportunity. And when he finally got there, was he grateful? Was he thankful? Did he show the appreciation that he should have as a husband to a loving wife? No, he turned his back on her and left her. Now, I don't know about you, but a man like that needs to be taken out and horsewhipped a few times. What a lack of gratitude. And yet, friends, even though it may not be as profound of a story as I've just told many times today, that's exactly what is happening in our lives around us, that people are exactly that way, unthankful. Paul warned us 2,000 years ago that that's exactly what people were going to be like. One of the things was unthankful, lack of gratitude. And like I said, if someone sat down and told me in 10 years this is the way it's going to be if you don't change, I believe I would have tried to change. Why hasn't mankind in 2,000 years taken the warning that this is the way things were going to be and done everything in their power to correct it better than we have? Someone said many people are like hogs who feed on acorns that fall from the oak trees. They enjoy God's blessings but never look up to see where they come from. Good point. How many people today love every little aspect of their lives that they have that's good, but how many times do they sit down and get on their knees and thank God for having it? You see, being unthankful or having a lack of gratitude is a mark of the perilous times of the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1. So I want us to talk a little bit more about gratitude to God today. See how the history of mankind has been when it's come to God and gratitude, and how maybe we can improve it in the future. But first of all, we're going to go back in time. And we're going to see that as sad as it is in our history that this is not a new thing in the Christian age. Even though Paul said that it would be in the last days that we would find people without gratitude, unthankful, friends, it's been that way since the beginning of time. If you go back to Genesis in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we find ourselves with the creation, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, you find very quickly the beautiful paradise that God had prepared for His creation. I can only imagine what it must have been like to walk through that garden, to behold its beauty, and know that everything I needed, physically speaking, everything was right there for me. All I had to do was go get it. I didn't have to worry about whether or not my wife would have enough. I didn't have to worry about whether or not we would be able to make it. God provided everything for my life, everything for my happiness. It was right there. Not only physically speaking, but imagine this. You're in the Garden of Eden. You're blessed with the physical blessings that God gives, but you're also blessed with the spiritual privilege of having fellowship with the Father, where He speaks directly to Adam. It's no situation where it is like today, where we can only pray to Him and use His Word to gain instruction. God was literally speaking directly to him. What a blessing. I don't know about you, but I don't think life could get much better than that. And yet amidst that, you probably most in this room know already that all that God required of them, and that's it, all that God required of them was one single restriction, and that was it. One limitation that they were not supposed to enjoy, and if they would do that, the Garden of Eden, all those physical blessings, all the spiritual fellowship with the Father would be theirs from time after time after time after time, day after day after day after day. But the one restriction is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And I imagine, again, most of you probably already know it. He said, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. One restriction. You can have every bit of this goodness that I'm giving you. You can enjoy every day the bountiful blessings that I bestow upon you. You can have fellowship directly with me. I'll commune with you. I'll talk with you. Just don't engage in one thing. Now I want to ask you a question. How grateful were Adam and Eve? And how thankful were they for their position in life? I would venture to tell you this morning, friends, that Adam and Eve are no different than most of us today. They had everything, as we would say, handed to them on a silver platter, and yet they weren't satisfied. They had all that God would give them right there before them for the taking, except for one little thing, and that was what they wanted instead of what they already had. Does that sound familiar at all? How many people today are really the way Paul instructed man to be? That no matter what our station in life is, the way his was, to be content with the things that we have. How many today can say that we would have said, you know what? God, you're right. You've been good to me. You've done everything for me. And I'll be glad to not take partake of this. But how many of today would do the same thing? They'd want the one thing they couldn't have. Isn't that the way a lot are today? They're not content with the house they have. They're not content with the two cars or more in the driveway already. They're not content with how many clothes are in the closet right now. They're not content with how much is in the pantry that's sitting there collecting dust. They always want more of what they already don't have instead of being grateful for what they do. So what happened? When man wasn't grateful in the garden for how much God had given him and decided he wanted something more, how much better did he make himself that day? How much better did he improve his life with that attitude that day? As I remember, they ended up losing their home in Eden because of that attitude. As I remember, they ended up losing that happy, easygoing life that they had there. As I remember, they ended up losing fellowship with the Father because of it. They ended up bringing sin and death into the world, all because, when you get right down to it, they weren't grateful enough to be content with what God had done for them. They wanted more. You see, friends, a lack of gratitude is not a first century, a 21st century, a Christian age thing. It's been from the beginning of time. And I would like to tell you that when the dispensation changed and we went over into the Mosaic age, that things got better. That man had learned over the centuries that had passed of how God was good and how that man ought to be grateful to him for all the blessings that he has, and that man no longer acted like Adam and Eve and instead wanted the one thing they shouldn't have and the one thing they didn't have, and that man straightened up. But I can't tell you that. Because in the Mosaic age, we're introduced to a nation of people called Israel. Not a very powerful people when we're first introduced to them. On the contrary, they were slaves when they became a nation. They were servants to Egypt when God chose them to be that nation of His. Now, I'll grant you, this was already foretold through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But by the time the nation of Israel comes on the scene as a collective group of people, they're not a very powerful folk. They have a pretty bad lot in life. They're having taskmasters who are making their burdens heavy. They're having to serve a Pharaoh who basically could care less who they are. And yet, what do we find God doing for them? Well, Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8 tells us by inspiration what God did. God said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." You see, God decided he was going to pick out these people and do good to them. Not because they deserved it. Don't get that in your head. It's not because they deserved it any more than anybody else. And it wasn't because they, as we found out, were a great people of number or stature. That wasn't it. But it was simply because of two reasons that God did this. Number one, because the Lord loved you. And number two, because he had sworn an oath to their fathers, their ancestral fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That God chose these people. And not only to be a people to him, but a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. I don't know about you, but if I were an Israelite at that moment in time and I read that or I heard that, that'd make me pretty much feel like I was something worthwhile, you know? Something of value, something that I ought to hold my head up high. Not arrogant, but I ought to hold my head up high. I'm worth something. God likes me. God loves me. He wants me. And you would think that a people who were treated like that, you would think that those type of people would never for one moment forget all that God had done for them. Never for one moment forget to be thankful for the blessings that they had received. Remember, friends, God delivered them, first of all, from Egyptian bondage. He then ended up giving them a land the Bible describes flowing with milk and honey, which describes the innumerable blessings that were there in that land. And not only on top of that did he give them deliverance and then give them blessings, but he said on top of that, you stay faithful to me, I'll protect you. That sounds pretty good. I mean, I don't know about you, but that doesn't get much better. God's going to make sure I have everything I need. God's delivered me from the hardships. And as long as I stay faithful, I'll have everything I need. He's going to take care of me. And yet, even though that were the case, that God loved them that much, even though God had chosen them above all other people to be special to him, did they remain thankful for what God had done for them? Were they ones who continued to have, as we say, that attitude of gratitude? I want you to take a look at Numbers chapter 14 with me, verses 1 through 4. And if you're a type of person like I am, and you see somebody have somebody do good to somebody else, and then that person turns around and just shows a lack of gratitude, it rubs you the wrong way, then this is going to be one that'll rub you the wrong way. It bothers me to see somebody take advantage of someone else. It bothers me to see someone go out of their way to make sure someone else gets help, and then they don't even appreciate it. Think about all I said that God did for this nation, and then listen to what they did. And all, and I want to emphasize the word all, A-double-L, every one of them, the entirety of them, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. You know, I would feel bad for them in a way if it weren't for the fact that I knew the rest of the story. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Listen to these folks. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. That rub you the wrong way? Does me. Did they deserve all the goodness God gave them? Absolutely not. Did God show them his love and compassion and mercy? Yes. And what did they show in return? Murmuring, complaining, whining, pouting. Or you're being a little hard on them. No, I'm just telling the truth. That's what it says there. That's what they did. Well, I don't see pouting and complaining. Well, that's exactly what they said. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? That's what they're doing, complaining and pouting. We've got it so bad. Look how bad we have it. Poor, poor, pitiful us. We should have died already. We've got, and the whole time, they want to go back to Egypt? Lest I forget, I remember talking a few moments ago about how they had taskmasters back in Egypt that made their burdens heavy, that beat them, that oppressed them, that made their lives miserable, and God delivers them and blesses them, and what do? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. No, I want to go back to Egypt. Sad. If that weren't bad enough, you would hope that even after that, the descendants of these people would learn from the mistakes of their ancestors that they would go back and they would learn the stories, the accounts of what took place in this time period, and they would say, you know what, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, whatever the case may be, they were wrong not to show gratitude to God. They were wrong to complain and to murmur and such like. We should never be that way. We should learn from their mistakes. Open with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Because at this point in time in Israel's history, in spite of what God has done to bless them and deliver them, this is one of the sadder accounts of what Israel did. Verse 14 beginning, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had, notice, compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. They're in the process at this point in time of mocking God. They're at this point in time where they're in a position where they don't want him anymore. They're fed up with serving him. They're fed up of all he's done. And even when they do that, God still had compassion on them. God sent them messengers, prophets, trying to get the reason to reason with them of what all he's done. But look at their attitude in verse 16. Is it of gratitude? No, my friends. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Were they grateful for what God had done for them? No, friends, they were not. Were they grateful that when their ancestors turned away from God and complained and whined and pouted that God didn't throw them away? No, they were not. On the contrary, what ends up happening here is they actually went off into worshiping idols, is what happens in 2 Chronicles 36. And in so doing, by complaining constantly, showing a lack of gratitude to God, God finally had enough of these people. And you know what? Rightfully so. And those people today who get upset when parents or grandparents or bosses or anybody of that nature who's in a position of authority finally gets to a point where they say, I've had enough with the lack of gratitude. I've had enough of the lack of appreciation, and they do something about it. When people run those folks down for doing that, I want them to remember that God had that feeling too. God had the feeling where he'd had enough, and he was going to finally do something about it. What did he do? Look at verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 36. Read down through verse 21. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Brethren, I know that you know that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15:4. This was written aforetime. This is Old Testament. Written for our learning. We find the people of God back then unthankful, lack of gratitude. And God tried and God tried and God tried to give them opportunity after opportunity till he finally had enough where no more compassion was coming. No more opportunity was going to be given. On the contrary, he didn't care if it was young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped in age, all were given into the hand of the king of the Chaldees. And not only that, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. You see, ungratefulness is not a new thing. Although Paul warned that in the Christian age man would be unthankful, and he is, by large, it happened in the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. They weren't grateful for what God did for them. They wanted one thing they didn't have. It happened in the Mosaic age when Israel was blessed tremendously by being delivered from bondage, by giving a land, by giving protection, and yet they complained constantly. They even wanted to go back to bondage. They decided to leave God and his worship and instead forsook him and worshiped idols until finally, friends, we learn a hard lesson. That if man's going to have this attitude of unthankfulness, if man's going to show God a lack of gratitude, God will not take it forever. God will get to a point where he has enough. God will get to a point where he says, I'm not giving compassion anymore. I'm giving punishment. You don't want to be free. You don't want to have my blessings. Go serve a wicked Gentile king. You want to be like them? Be like them. God takes a lack of gratitude very seriously. Very, very seriously, friends. It's not something that we should just give a token notion toward every once in a while. It ought to be a lifestyle we live every day of gratefulness. You see, when mankind gets to the point where he stops appreciating what God has done for him, then he's exactly like Israel of old. He's ready to fall. And not only is he ready to fall, he will fall unless he changes. We could go on, and I don't have a lot of time to stay up here, and I guess I could preach until midnight, but some of you might fall asleep and fall down, and I can't revive you like Paul did. But I could talk of other people who were not grateful over the history of man. Jesus' time. Think about the ungrateful folks in his time. He came to his own, and his own received him not. John 1:11. They weren't grateful. Think about the 10 lepers in Luke 17:11-19, how that they were all cleansed, but only one came back to show appreciation and gratitude. And he asked, where are the nine? Or even today, friends, and the blessings that the United States of America, as an example, has received, and how many people today are God-fearing as they used to be, Bible-believing, Bible-studying, worshiping God people the way they used to be. Has man really learned the lesson of gratitude? I said if I were told that I had 10 years, and in 10 years it was going to be just like this if I didn't change, I'd strive, I think, to try to make sure it didn't get that way if it were going to be bad. And yet Paul said 2,000 years ago almost that it would be exactly this way, that there would be a lack of gratitude, a lack of thankfulness amongst the people, that it would be prominent in society. And friends, it's right here amongst us in 2016. I'm afraid by large mankind has not learned the lesson of being grateful to God. We got through back in November celebrating a national holiday of thanks, for which I'm grateful, and I'm not trying to undermine in any form or fashion, and I hope you don't think that I am. But I want to make sure we understand that November, whatever it falls on each year, is not just a Thanksgiving day for a Christian, and it shouldn't be for man at large. Every single day should be Thanksgiving Day to our God. Every day. And if we can't be thankful for anything else, and friends, all of us have much to be thankful for. But if we can't be thankful for anything else, remember we were given a great gift one time. The gift of salvation through God's only begotten Son. And if we can't be thankful for that, then friends, we truly are in a dire strait. Because there is no greater gift or blessing He's ever given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you're not a Christian, how are you showing God you're grateful for all He's done for you? In truthfulness, friend, you're really not. Not the way He wants. You see, He wants the glory to be given to Him in one location, the Bible says, in the church. He wants you to show your gratitude toward Him by becoming a child of His. He wants you to show Him how thankful you are by obeying His Word. And to do that, as an alien sinner, you have to read and study Romans 10:17 and obtain faith. And that faith will direct you to a man named Jesus who died for your sins, was buried, rose the third day, and sits on the right hand of God, glorified. You must believe in Him, John 8:24. You see, if you want to show God you're grateful, you'll repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. You'll confess with your mouth the name of Christ and be willing to do it every day if necessary, because that's how thankful you are for what He's done for you, Matthew 10:32-33. And you'll humble yourself and allow someone to immerse you, baptize you in water for the remission of your sins, so that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash you clean. And then, friends, you'll show God every day how thankful you are by remaining faithful, Revelation 2:10. By doing what He says, every day, no matter when, no matter where, and no matter amongst who. you'll do His will. That is showing gratitude to God. If you're an unfaithful child of God, think about the lack of gratitude you're showing for all He's done for you. And wouldn't that compel you to want to show today a change? Wanting to make sure that today you knew that God understood how grateful you were? Then show Him. Repent. Come back home. Make yourself right with Him. I hope today we'll learn that Paul was unfortunately right, but we can do something to help it. We can help the last days be better by making one less unthankful person on this earth. Let it be me as we stand.